Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, the host of the Reasonable Voices talk radio show and known as The Reasonable Voice. Today, I have a delightful filmmaker on the phone who's one of the stars in Sole Proprietor, which will be theatrically released on Friday, August 12th, 2016 in Los Angeles, and will be available digitally on Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, and Google Play on that same date, Friday, August 12th. Okay, so my guest today, one of the stars of Sole Proprietor, Alexandra Hellquist. Did I get it?
You did great.
All right, thank you. And thanks for being on the show. We've spoken with Dan Eberle, who is the writer and director of the film, A Sole Proprietor, but he told me that when you arrived, uh-oh, Alexandra, yes, at your cold audition, that you were so good he rewrote the entire role. Tell us about that.
Oh, my goodness. So when I went into audition, I had some ideas about the role. And I had read the script and it was a great script. And I felt like there was also room for making it a little bit more subversive.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophie was originally very, very, very much a classic femme fatale.
Uh-huh.
And I think Dan has described her in the past as sort of the counterpoint to Crowley. But I felt like there was really some room in there for a lot more gray, a lot more ambiguity,
mm-hmm,
a lot more humanity.
Yes.
So you couldn't just write her off as like, oh, we know where this story is going.
Yes.
And that's actually one of the things I really love about the film. I feel like as a whole, it really honors and pays homage to the genre that it comes from, like neo-noir action suspense. It loves it. You can feel its roots in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, I feel like it does challenge the audience's expectations. It, like, flips the script a little bit and subverts expectations and helps you see the world in a whole new way. I think it's a really smart, beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan gave us all a lot of room to play, which was awesome.
Yes. When I spoke with Dan, who's the writer-director, my impression of the movie was almost verbatim what you're saying you wanted the movie to be and that it turned out being in your opinion. So we're on the same page right away.
Yay!
Yes. It clearly is gives a healthy, productive nod to film noir, but the... And there are dark situations, but the people are more than that. The characters are real human beings. They're complex.
Yeah.
They have many a web of shortcomings and strengths, and they intersect constantly with each other as well as within themselves. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, I think that's right. It really is, I think, a beautiful ensemble piece. I think Dan helms it, and he's wonderful. And I think it's a testament to his gift as a filmmaker and as a leader that I think everyone on that set, cast and crew, felt absolutely indispensable and had room to really express their art and their craft. And I think you can feel that sort of in the texture of the film.
Yes, I agree. You may not know. I'm a director of theater primarily, but have done videos.
I didn't know.
Oh, you did know. Well, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. I looked up your bio and everything.
You researched me. Well, the feeling is mutual. I checked you out, too. So, as a director, I've been asked many times, how do you, you know, because I've been told in a very positive way, you're very exacting. You know exactly what you want to see. And you get that from the actors. And they ask, well, what's that like when you show up and you have this vision? Because if anyone knows about Alfred Hitchcock, he had a vision and didn't necessarily feel that any other vision was necessary. And of course, the man was a genius. Mm-hmm. But I've always felt, I like to do my homework, obviously, but I feel that when you arrive that first day of rehearsal or the first day of shooting, what's wonderful is that then these human beings we call actors show up. And all of a sudden, it's the way they look, the way they stand, yes, the way they move, the way they speak, where they pause, all of that. And everything you thought, it doesn't go away, it's just embellished. It takes off.
Yeah.
When Dan started the story about your audition with me, I thought, I love it when actors come in and have choices, and then they show me those. And you did that, and you changed his mind and changed his film, and both of you and the other stars, the character who played the cop. I mean, it's like a cop on edge and a woman with a plan and a few other fun things. And and then the bagman's bag. So what do you take away from it in addition to your character? What did you bounce off most in script and director and other characters?
The world can seem very extreme. Although, honestly, it's sad to say, but in this day and age, it feels like it's not so far away from us, this world of violence and darkness. I think that ultimately, when you get right down to it, every one of these people is a person in very, very difficult circumstances,
yes,
making really hard decisions. And there, but for the grace of the gods,
yes,
go we.
Yes.
And I think that's a really beautiful part of hopefully any film, in a sense. Any story is if we can see ourselves and imagine ourselves trying to make those same decisions, and you can paint them with, you can tar them with a brush. You can call them bad guys, but ultimately, there are some tough situations.
Yes.
Although I think there are some bad guys too.
Yes, yes. Oh, they certainly are not. They're not perfect guys. Let's put it that way. They do have some issues. A lot of baggage, the pun intended. But
yeah, I liked it.
Tell us a bit about the story. I know we don't want to give it away, but a former CIA contractor has his own reasons for being out there trying to start a new life, and he goes to the internet and finds a solution.
a little bit of a distraction, he thinks.
Yes, exactly. See, and that I love that setup, because there he goes. He goes to the internet and, you know, what am I going to do with my life now? What's the first step to live a better life? So he goes to the internet and finds
someone.
And he finds what we call a sex worker in the press release.
That would be me.
Yes, and a beautiful one at that. But, you know, as you say, you know, he arranges to meet or whatever, and we think, okay, we know what this is all about. And she is, shall we say, full service with lots of...
With
additions. There you are.
Yeah. With extras.
Exactly. But... from that point launches this amazing, sexy, yes, but mystery and efforts at second chances and difficulty getting to know one another and working together and yet coming out being what each other needed, you know?
Yeah.
I'm dancing around, so I don't tell too much because I
want
you
spoilers.
To just... That's right. So you tell us what you want us to know based on that little monologue of mine.
Well, I think that you captured a lot of it. I'm a big fan of no spoilers.
Yes.
I have been taught well. I think that the less you go in having expectations, the better. You can just follow along with the story.
Yes.
So, but it's definitely, I would say, definitely sexy.
Yes.
For what that's worth.
Yes.
And but I hope it's also touching and illuminating and unexpected.
And I do think, for all of its sexiness, women are not objectified in this.
That is extremely important to me.
Yes.
I do a lot of sort of sexier femme fatale roles, and it's very, there are a lot of projects out there that can veer into exploitation, where it's just like, oh, let's have this hot girl in the picture, because why not?
Yes.
Or let's show her nipples, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a very, very, and it can go up to, like, high levels of production, too. So it's not just indie or low-budget features at all. I think it's an issue that bears looking at in the industry. So I'm very careful. I'm not shy. I think that sexuality and sensuality are a crucial part of the human experience, and one that I think is fascinating and something that I'm drawn to exploring. But I really don't want to do things that make the world a worse place for women, for female actors. So I'm very careful about the roles I pick, and I felt very strongly that although, because this was a very sexy, sensual piece, but because the characters are so full,
yes,
and that's not the point of the story, it was a joy and a liberation to work on this film. And I'm glad that it comes across that way. It's very important to me.
It definitely does. I certainly have no objection to seeing a sexy woman on film, but it has to move the plot forward. It has to give me information about her character and whoever else is in the scene that is valuable to the plot, to the conflict. And Sole Proprietor really is efficient as well as artistic in how it uses images. It sets our minds to trying to figure out what's going on, because there are a lot of twists and turns here. Tell us about it.
Oh, no spoilers. But I do hope that, I think that what you might guess about any given character will probably turn out to be wrong by the end of the film.
Yes.
Hopefully.
I think you're right, and I've only seen the trailer, but I sense that about it, that cannot make assumptions. You need to be watching and wondering. How's that?
Or you know, go ahead and make assumptions.
Okay.
And then we'll turn them upside down.
That's right. And then you have to be big enough to go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's great.
Right, exactly.
It's a terrific twist. What got you, tell us, what caught your eye to make you even go to the audition for Sole Proprietor?
Well, I saw this audition on Backstage.
Yes.
And so I do a lot of self-submissions, because right now I don't have representation. If anyone out there is listening,
I'll keep that
in mind. And the description was really potent and right up my alley, but it also, honestly, and Dan knows this as well, it set off a couple of red flags, because it was like the writer, director, producer was the same person.
Yes.
And also the lead actor.
Yes.
As I found out. And the role was like super sexy, dangerous, mysterious, full nudity. So that's always something as an actor that you're like,
Yes, yes.
So what's going on there? Is this a vanity project? Is this an excuse. But I talked to Dan on the phone first, and he had a really and so sweet and so smart, and so willing to listen. Like, it's not a common thing that I honestly would necessarily feel comfortable even expressing myself to a director who I'd never met before I even auditioned for them about, like, my ideas of the character. But I could feel that he was eager to hear my ideas.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing for an actor.
Yes.
So I told him what I had been thinking in terms of, like, giving Sophie more color or dimension. And he seemed really intrigued and excited. And then I went into audition, and we improvised.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things, like, this is sort of like basic backbone of storytelling.
Yes.
But I played a lot with, for example, playfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And he played along with me, and he went with everything I threw at him, including, I think, a very, very light slap. And it was a really fun audition, and it was really a joy, and I had a blast, and I feel so lucky that I got to walk in that room and play, and that we're here today talking about the finished product.
Wow. Well, that's a wonderful reaction to hear from any actor about, the experience.
Dan's great. Dan's great. And you know, he managed, because he's such a wonderful person and wonderful leader, he brought together a team that really gelled.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really feel it on the set if it feels like a team, if it feels like everyone's in it together. And I think a crucial part of making that happen is making every single person feel valued and loved and indispensable. And I think everyone felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
Every single actor, every single crew member, everyone could bring their unique gift to the job that they had. And they felt trusted by Dan. And that is a beautiful thing. And I think it makes all the difference.
I agree with you, and we're going to take a break on that high positive note. I'm talking with Alexandra Hellquist, who is starring in Sole Proprietor, and it will be released on Friday, August 12th, 2016 in Los Angeles, and will also be made available digitally on Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, and Google Play on that very same day and date. So we're going to take a short break. We hope you'll stay with us. It's exciting and interesting and funny and sexy and mysterious and dark situations with complex people trying to solve them, most of the time in Congress with each other. But we'll see. No secrets given away here. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Over the past 20 years, Noah Baumbach has given us a fine collection of indie films, including his breakthrough classic, The Squid and the Whale. He digs deeply into the human psyche in critical transitions while adding just the right touch of life-based humor. Baumbach's work continues to mature, which serves him well in his latest offering, While We're Young. This is a complex film that travels way past any pat view of stereotypically aged characters. It explores the longings and tempting interrelations of the young, the prime, and the elderly. Each affects the other, and all have so much to offer. Perspectives change. Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts play a middle-aged couple who meet a 20-something version of themselves, played by Amanda Seyfried and Adam Driver. Quickly, they fall into the world of their new friends, longing for their spontaneity and limitless possibilities. Qualities that have faded from their own lives. This setup gives birth to a sensitive exploration of life stages. The humor is appreciably subtle, sometimes even uncomfortable. We see ourselves depicted on screen and assess our own actions, disappointments, and longings. While We're Young is as intelligent and perceptive as it is entertaining. Noah Baumbach at his best. While We're Young, not in theaters, Discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voices Talk Radio Show. My guest today, Alexandra Hellquist.
She is doing wonderfully.
Thank you. So are you. You are one of the stars in Sole Proprietor, which we're going to talk about because I have also talked to the writer-director, Dan Eberle, who not only wrote the script and directed, but also was one of the producers and a star in the film with Alexandra.
Yes.
And as I was mentioning to Alexandra, I've always been a little concerned when someone wears too many hats. But when I saw the trailer of Sole Proprietor, the trailer had such a tight and fast-moving and gut-wrenching and... gut-wrenching in its suggestion. You don't really see a lot. You think you do. It was comprehensive. It was points of view that seemed like a spider's web, all connected and yet all vibrating independently. And having said all of that, what are your thoughts, Alexandra?
I think that's a beautiful way to put it. And I'm honored that I get to be here. When I see a project that where one person is wearing so many incredibly crucial and very different hats, it definitely sets off alarm bells. And I think it really was an extraordinary thing that Dan was able to do so much. But honestly, he did it not because... He pulled it off not because he thought, you know, he could do it all and he didn't need anybody. No, I think it was the opposite. He approached the project with enormous humility and grace, and knowing he needed everyone else to pitch in, and giving everyone so much freedom and opportunity to bring their best selves to the work. And I think that that's why it worked. And that's why it was such a joy to be on set with him and to be on set with everyone else. Everyone was really happy and felt very lucky to be there.
And, you know, film is extremely collaborative work. No matter how many hats you wear or how few. With film, I always feel the screenplay isn't finished until you finish shooting. You know what I mean?
Editing,
for that matter. That's true.
And all of that.
That's true. I've sat there and made an entirely different movie because of what I saw in the editing room than I started out with. That's true. That's very true.
And I think our editor is fantastic.
Tell us about her or him. Which?
His name is Yasu Inui. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's all right. Join the club.
I think he has a really sharp sense of timing. I think that the action cuts are amazing, but also there's a very lyrical sort of split storytelling thing that's going on with the movie, which you will see when you watch it in full. That's very, very beautiful. And takes you to other places in your mind, and sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but it's a very beautiful texture. So you have the sharpness and the grit and the danger and the pace, the urgency, and yet these like lovely, dreamy, almost interludes where you get this like little glimpse of the humanity in the midst of the violence. And I think he's really incredible. And I think that editing is really... I mean, some people say that film is an editor's medium, and I think that there is a lot of truth to that.
Yes.
So thank you, Yasu, for doing all that.
Well, I think it was a great answer, and I did get a sense of that, a real sense of that, truly, in just watching the trailer. You know, an editor can only work with what is shot, what is given him. But I, as I said earlier, I have had a movie in mind, in my head, before I met the actors, even as I read the screenplay. And then I meet the actors, and then I get a slightly different, and sometimes a lot different, movie in my head. And then I sit down with the editor. I know what shots I want, and yet we watch the footage, and you really can make another movie. I don't always choose to do
Absolutely.
That, but you can.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of my favorite things about filmmaking is how collaborative it is, mm-hmm. and how all these pieces need to come together for it to really shine. And I mean, our DP, James Parsons, was amazing. And he got beautiful shots, and he pulled some crazy stuff to get those.
Yeah.
he is a determined man.
Yes.
And I think the music also,
yes.
Speaking about my post-production, really gives it a feel and a texture and an urgency. Matt Rocker is responsible for that. And just like everyone, mm-hmm. everyone came together to make this movie what it is. And I'm really proud and honored to be, honestly, a pretty small part of it.
Well, I don't know how small, but it seemed to me, in the trailer at least, I was quite impressed.
People,
yes.
You know, look at the credits. I mean, I think, honestly, I make a splash because I'm not wearing so many clothes. I think that films have to be a team effort, and we were lucky to have a wonderful team because we had a wonderful leader.
Yes.
In Dan.
Well, I'm going by the trailer and by my recent conversation on radio with Dan, and I have to agree with what you're saying. He had it together, and yet it was not a closed case. He was open.
Yeah.
And he and I, we were laughing a bit about, we had similar stories about how we got to New York and patting ourselves on the back was very courageous because we each just packed up everything one day and went. And
I did that with LA.
Oh, well, talk to me. Tell me about it. How was that? How was that for you?
I moved a month ago.
Oh.
I actually, instead of packing up everything, I mostly gave away everything.
Uh-huh.
I had like 2 suitcases, 2 boxes of books, and a little bit of spillover, and I moved, and I'm looking for a place to live. I'm in the middle of shooting something right now. I'm on this beautiful short film called Deep Half Love that I have to go to my call times at noon, which is in an hour and 20 minutes. So I'm going to take an Uber over there because I don't know how to drive. I'm going to learn how to drive. It's a grand adventure, and I'm really excited, and I'm glad I get to be here for the premiere.
That's right. You'll be there.
It's very exciting.
Wow. Well, you do have to learn to drive if you live in L.A., that's for sure.
I know.
But when we're off air, I'll give you a couple of contacts that I know out there who might very well be able to be of help. I know that's the way it was for me when I went to New York. I knew people.
I would love that.
You know, in New York, but not a lot. I had gone there to audition and had done a couple of tours and saw new people who would always say, you know, if you ever decide to move to New York, let us know. But I just packed 1 suitcase and bought a one-way ticket and made a telephone call to a number I had kept in my wallet for years. I don't know why. And he answered the phone right away, you know.
Yes.
And Marcello, how are you doing? And, you know, I told him, well, I'm here and I need a place to stay. No problem. We'll be right there.
Amazing.
You
know, I mean,
you got to love actors. You know.
I definitely have been blessed to be helped by a lot of people already. People have let me crash on their couches, given me their beds in some cases. I just got my first agent ever 2 days ago.
Wow.
Exciting.
That's very good. Yeah. I thought you said earlier you didn't have an agent.
Oh, I just got a commercial agent.
Oh, gotcha.
So I'm a legit representative.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, because I know people, you know what I'm saying? No.
Yeah, well, show them the trailer, let's see what we can get going.
All right, okay.
But yeah, I actually, I mean, I don't know if this is interesting to now has very much become this pay-to-play thing. Like, you have to pay to be seen by people. You have to pay to meet the gatekeepers. And I think it's a real shame, and I don't think it's good for anyone.
No, it isn't.
I think it taints things. And it's, I mean, actors are already seen as so fungible.
Yes.
You know, like, putting them in the position of a supplicant and a paying supplicant to meet gatekeepers is really, I think, doing a disservice to the industry and to the work and to ultimately making good teams together. So I've steered clear of them, and I'm looking for referrals. But also, I think I'm going to try and start this finder's fee thing, which is to say, the first check I get, whatever it is, from whichever agent who lands me whichever job, I think 10% of that will go to whoever referred me, because I would never have gotten that job without them. And that is nice, because I think it puts the power back into the actor's hands and makes it people helping each other instead of, like, competing against each other, because there's enough of that already. So that's my new idea. I'm excited about it.
Well, I certainly hear what you're saying. When I was starting out, I was fortunate because, unlike Dan's story, arriving in New York, I was very fortunate. I just fell into things right away, surprisingly fast, and did it very well for a good while. But I also was primarily director-actor then, not so much director-writer. But in any case, my point was, I used to always say to actors, do not give anybody money up front, you know, in the casting business. But two things have developed a lot since then. One, you've just talked about, that the reality is one does have to pay in to get into the doors now. And also, I feel that too many, I don't want to offend any of my friends in the casting world, but too many are... Well, let's put it this way. What the internet age, the digital age, has done is give all actors an opportunity to be seen by many, many, many more people, obviously. I can live wherever I want to live and be seen as I was, thank God. I still am very appreciative of this, by Steven Spielberg himself, because everything's digital. But the it does remove, I think, it shifts the weight. Everyone has the responsibility for their own life and their own career. Okay. But it shifts the weight. It used to be, I knew agents and casting directors in New York who worked their butts off to get actors seen. Whereas now the actors do all of this digitally and self-taping and submitting yourself. And of course, it goes much further than that, the old mail-in. Thanks for bringing that up, though, Alexandra. It's good for the world to be reminded that acting is not all that simple and easy. And I resent it when someone says to me, oh, I just wanted to try it out, and, you know.
I mean, I say try it out, but you might not know what you're getting into.
I know,
no,
you know.
At the beginning how much time I would spend on the computer as a
Yes, well, that's true, and that's a reality for any profession now, but it's a little different
right.
It's an adjustment for actors, I think, for artists in general. But acting is a serious, fun-loving, fun-filled, yes, but a serious career and profession, and I'm a little sensitive about anyone who suggests otherwise. All right, but back to Sole Proprietor.
Absolutely.
Sole Proprietor, Alexandra Hellquist. Any particular, with the cast and working with the cast and crew, any particular, you felt, in addition to Dan, obviously, that there was such support that helped you grow the character?
Oh, my goodness. Everyone chipped in. I mostly did scenes with Dan. I did scenes with other people too, but I am loath to, I think it might spoil it to say, like, who. I think there's a whole, like, there are fantastic actors on this film. I can't name everyone, but
yes.
Like Chris Graves plays Misha, Terry Mary, who is also a cop in the show, along with Nick Bixby, who is the crooked cop and probably the one we follow most closely, and Alexandra Chalereau,
yes,
who a beautiful waif of an actor, who we will see. Wonderful, wonderful people. I think we all collaborate. You have to. It's like the texture of the world.
Yes.
And I think everyone did a really fantastic job. And then, of course, Dan, who let me slap him and be rather naked all over him and let me play. Yeah, it was a joy. I felt like I could fly.
Yes, excellent. I love hearing your reaction to this because, again, it's not so much we do our work, we do it the best of our ability, but it's not just what we think about it. When you hear what other people think about the experience that they've gone through with you, it means so much. And I'm sure Dan and everyone working on the film certainly will appreciate hearing what you've said today. Are there any parting words? I do want to remind people of some things, websites and whatever, but what's next for you is what I guess I'd like to hear from you.
Oh, wow. I don't know. The future seems so bright.
I have
this coming out. I also have another feature that is being released video on demand on July 21st. That's called Midnight Delight. It's by Dot and Feather Films. It's like a series of vignettes in the vein of coffee and cigarettes, but it's about weed. So if you partake at all whatsoever, you know, go find some stuff, sit down, watch this. I think you'll have a lot of fun. I have another feature called Digital Physics that's coming out sometime this summer, fall, also in video on demand. That's by Philadelphia Films, spelled with PHs. And I'm shooting a short film right now, Deepak Love. I have another short coming up called Astro Zombies, which I'm excited about. I'll be playing a hippie. It's a found footage film, so I'm really excited about that. Shaman Super 8.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's... Yeah. I've never done that before. I'm excited to see how that goes. I don't know. I think that the beautiful part of my life right now is that I really have absolutely no idea what my life will look like in 3 months. But
it's going in up and up.
Really great about it.
Yes.
I feel so lucky. And so fortunate to be where I am already, and hopefully I can just ride the wave.
Excellent. That is such a great attitude to have, and great talent as well, as I've seen. And we are talking to, or have been talking to, Alexandra Hellquist, and she is the star, I know. She is the star of Soul Proprietor, one of them,
one of
anyway.
Many
yes.
Stars.
Yes.
Many wonderful stars.
Exactly. And Soul Proprietor will be theatrically released when she's out in LA on Friday, August 12th, 2016. And it will be made available digitally on Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, and Google Play on that very same date. Do you care to give us any social media contact information, Alexandra, just so people can follow you?
Honestly, I'm kind of newer to this, but absolutely follow me. I am VA Hellquist on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook as well, Alexandra Hellquist, HellQuist. It's kind of like a quest for hell, but with an I. and you can check out my website at alexandrahelpless.com and see what I must do.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
We're going to say goodbye now and wish you all the very best and for Soul Proprietor
Thank
and all
you.
Of your projects, okay?
Thank you so much. It's been really a pleasure. pleasure to be here with you, Marcello, and to everyone out there listening, thank you so much. And hopefully I'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Very good. Now, don't go away because we're going to talk about a couple of things. But to everyone else, I hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll stay with us in future episodes of The Reasonable Voices Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando. Have a great week, a great month, great life, everyone, and go to the movies. Bye now.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
Now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Kristen Wiig is an incredibly talented person, a proven comedy genius. As a star of Saturday Night Live, she created unforgettably odd characters, often with physical or mental deformities, but somehow she made us comfortable enough to laugh. We shouldn't be surprised that she would find success in the film world, often lending subtly dark humor to serious dramatic roles. In fact, her acting career is flying high, with appearances, lead, and supporting in some of the largest of blockbusters. But it is in the indie world where her signature work shines the brightest. In The Skeleton Twins, which boasts a stellar supporting cast, Kristen plays Maggie to her twin brother Milo, fellow SNL alum Bill Hader. Both bear deep psychological scars and flirt with suicide. Dark subject, infused with laughter. If that isn't dark enough, check out Welcome to Me. Here Kristen plays Alice Klieg, a woman suffering from deep psychoses who wins the lottery. Sure that her obsessive positive thinking has brought her success, she forges into the world, creating a strange reality show, which due to its absurd oddity, becomes a hit. Dark comedy, deep sadness. Signature works from one of the greats of our time. The Skeleton Twins, Welcome to Me. Kristen Wiig. Catch up with this talented creator. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental. Find us on the web at indiefilmminute.com.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Democratic National Convention 2016 got personal. To the extent we are in the arena, we are exceptional. Americans are free to vote to make the radical right reckless choice to go back in time when greatness was the presumptive exclusive right of the superior white man, or we can embrace the magnanimous magnitude of blind justice, gender and racial equality, and the powerful reality of love and climate change in the place we call home. The human connection between the Statue of Liberty and loving patriotism took center stage at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia to reaffirm education, out of many one, and this 2016 presidential election define America as free will granting all the life-renewing choice to bequeath a proactive future to our children for our nation. Several organizations invited me to tell the story of their pro-life causes while I covered DNC 2016. I hadn't returned to Philadelphia since launching my professional career, directing 1776 in 1976, but I was back, standing in line like Eleanor Clift for press credentials. He who alleges, "I alone can fix it," can never be the American voice. For we are not a solo, but rather leaders in the great ensemble of humanity's purpose to preserve, protect, and defend family, community, and nation as Earth's stewards. TheReasonableVoice.com will never presume to be your voice. However, we shall always write and speak up on radio and online for the right of all voices to be heard. The DNC 2016 lesson, exceptionalism is loving our children, saving college students from Wall Street debt, quality and timely medical care for our seniors, Gold Star parents, and veterans, equal economic opportunity, justice, Medicare, and Medicaid for all female as well as male Americans, busting from womb to tomb Bernie supporters and baby boomers allied for change we can believe in, seeking reasonable balance between differing POVs,
asking no more for ourselves than we would gladly share with all. Color and ethnic blindness melting the walls around our hearts and minds. Restoring America's infrastructure. Providing mental health care with 21st century ideals. Accommodating those especially impacted by the natural evolution of time's effect on careers like farmers, coal miners, and small business owners. Protecting both police and gun violence victims equally. Granting women equal citizenship in the United States Constitution. I return to Rocky City for First Lady Michelle Obama and all descendants of slaves. Was in Philadelphia for all who wish to recapture the pre-Bush-Cheney recession financial surplus left behind by former President Bill Clinton. Endured the too-big-to-fail Wells Fargo Convention Center to detail the advocacy for healing America. Democratic call for universal freedom and equality. Tremendous public servants and fathers, Joe Biden and Tim Kaine. Rejecting malarkey, we lead not only by the example of our power, but the power of our example. Billionaire independent Michael Bloomberg. Look at the candidate, not the party label. No more war. Investigating Tom Selleck's water-stealing climate injustice friends. The agriculture industry, factory farmers, Nestle, and so on. And those who have lost loved ones to gun violence and war. Former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. Orlando Pulse mother Christine Leonon. Sandy Hook principal's daughter Erica Smeljelski. Widow of Iraq helicopter pilot Jamie Dorf. Next for The Reasonable Voice, a series of pro-activists' articles, radio interviews, and audio commentary, bringing 2016 DNC to 2016 Election Day with informative updates and, yes, edutainment regarding how to end American second-class citizenship. Among my sources, PeopleDemandingAction.org, EmergeAmerica.org, WomenLeadershipOfVirginia.org, Women-Matter.org, EqualRightsAmendment.org, because they and all the candidates, leagues, caucuses, and elected officials to whom they introduced me, like Texan Wendy Davis and Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey, are pro-life for all American life, women and men, black or white, Latina or Latino, Native or Asian American, LGBTQ Wall Street pants suits, or Wall Street too big to jail. For yes, we can be stronger together. I attended the DNC 2016 to honor all the parents, families, and friends who've lost loved ones to war and other gun violence. I will continue to be there for all Americans because I, too, am a New Yorker, and I know a con when I see one. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of The Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.